Hi everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. Richie is joining me again and we are chatting about finishing a painting. Last week we talked about getting started. The painting that I talked about last week I have finished, and now I'm sharing all the tips and techniques and ideas that I use in my own studio practice when I get to the finishing stage. Speaking of starting and finishing, this podcast is brought to you by my online class, Layer by Layer, where you will see me paint a large abstract painting from start to finish. So if you'd like to see that process, head on over to laurahornart.com/classes, click on Layer by Layer, and don't forget to use the coupon code. The coupon is 20INFEB, 20INFEB. And you will save 20% on that class up to the 19th of March 2020. So that's when the coupon expires.
Hello, Laura. How are you going?
I'm very good. It's Monday, and you know I love Mondays.
It's crazy, isn't it? Who would have ever thought that Monday would be just as good a day as any other?
I just love the idea of you having the whole week ahead to do stuff, creative stuff, make things. It's very very exciting, and we're very lucky to get to do what we get to do.
Yeah, because this week is going to be an awesome week.
It is going to be an awesome week. We are getting stuck into filming our new online class, which I can't wait for.
Well, speaking of awesome weeks, You had a really good week last week.
I did. I focused on completing a commission piece, the first one in a long time. In last week's episode, I was talking about how I was getting started with it and sharing some tips and ideas that I use when I'm starting a new painting project. Well, I'm pleased to say that I finished the painting, and I thought that this week I could share some of the techniques and things that I did that helped me along with that process, because it did go fairly smoothly. Which got me thinking about how much I've improved over time, because sometimes we don't take a moment to think about where we are in our journey and the work that we've put in. Often we compare ourselves to other people rather than looking back at our own experience. And in this case, I was looking at how I approached commissions a few years ago compared to how I approached this last one. Giving myself, I guess, a little bit of a pat on the back, you know, because I've learned quite a lot over the last few years and continuing to learn all the time. So before I get into the finishing topic, which is a big one, and it's an area that many artists struggle with, and I often get questions, particularly with abstract art, how do you know when to stop? Like, when is the painting finished? So we're going to dive in deep with that. But before we do, I wanted to take this opportunity to say a thank you to many people that have sent me emails about the episode that we did a couple of weeks back on burnout and exhaustion. And I've appreciated the messages so much. And almost all of them have started with, please don't reply to this. I know you're busy. I just wanted to let you know.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I just thought that was so beautiful. And I haven't actually replied to them. I'm trying very hard to have some boundaries and get my priorities in check, even though I do want to say a huge thank you, which is why I'm doing it on the podcast. I also got a suggestion around the DM challenge that I've been having.
Oh.
And I had a message on the top of my Instagram profile saying something along the lines of, it was very gentle. It was very much like, I prefer if you email me, but I still like DMs. You know? Anyway, someone sent me a suggestion of how I could say that nicely, but a little bit more, like, stronger.
Yeah.
And so I've done that. I'm not sure how I feel about it, but I'm giving it a try, because I do appreciate everyone's messages, but my DM inbox is just...
It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's out of control. So I'm asking people, if they can, to email me.
And you might even get through to me.
Yeah, that's right. Richie is helping me out with emails and he's getting in behind the scenes. So we're definitely, since moving into the new studio together, working a bit differently, sharing the load, and that's all helping, particularly in relation to this burnout challenge that I was having. So I'm already starting to feel the pressure lift and getting back to my old self. And I have to say, it feels great. Like, yeah. I'm laughing more, I'm relaxing more.
More painting.
More painting.
More content.
And at the end of the day, enjoying this creative life that we always wanted to have.
Yeah.
And speaking of beautiful messages, I have a fantastic review of the week to share. It's called Loving It, and it's from Juliet Gao via Apple Podcasts in Australia. And the review is, I'm really enjoying the podcast. It's a great help in my creative work life. I too work from home with my partner, and the podcast has great practical business advice, support for my arty angst, lessons for working with your partner, and so much more. The interviews with other artists are refreshingly revealing too. Keep up the good work, Laura and Richie. I love that. And it's interesting how Juliet mentioned the dynamic between working with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that maybe there's a future podcast episode where we could chat a bit about that.
Yeah. And Juliet, I hope you take your husband out for business meals and Christmas parties, because I don't get any of that.
I was thinking we might wait a little while to do this conversation
until you've treated me.
until Rich is a bit happier with the arrangement, because last week if we'd had this conversation, it would have been quite a heated one.
Oh my God. If you'd have put a mic in front of me on Saturday. Yeah.
We've had a few, what would you say, adjustment.
The adjustment isn't on my side. The adjustment is you letting go. Do you know what? You should do a podcast on letting go.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
If you are going to bring someone on board into your art business, you know, letting go of things.
You should do a podcast about listening.
I should. Well, how not to listen.
I know, yeah. How to listen.
Yeah. I have absolutely zero qualifications in listening.
I'm struggling to let go.
Yes. But I am an expert head nodder. So, yeah. And maybe that's because we're husband and wife. Because you'll say, Richie, do this. And I'll say, yeah, of course, dear, no problem. And then I go and do it my way.
And I come back, you weren't listening.
And I was like, I was husband listening. I wasn't business partner listening.
Yeah. So maybe we'll revisit.
We should.
Revisit that topic in a few weeks' time.
But the funny thing about that topic is, as lighthearted as it is, it's still a good topic to talk about. Because it may not just be your partner. Like, it could be your daughter or your son or, you know, someone who's not a business partner, like someone who's family, because it's a different dynamic. It must be.
Yeah, it could apply in many different contexts, and even just the topic of collaborating in general.
Yeah.
Because no one operates in isolation. We've always got to work with others, and it's one of the greatest skills that we can ever learn in life, is how to get along and adapt and be flexible. And it's an ongoing skill that tests us out over time.
Well, Juliet, I hope your working relationship with your partner is as good as ours. Go easy on him, please. So you had an excellent week last week, and we're looking forward to this week. But me specifically, I'm really looking forward to this week. I start to now practice my craft, filming, editing, directing, lighting. Like, this is what I love the most. That's why I'm super excited for next week.
Yeah, you've been itching to get into this. Itching. Every week you've been giving me the nudge. Are you ready yet? Are you ready yet? Because you haven't had the opportunity to do a lot of your craft, filming, editing, because we haven't made a new online class in quite a while. I think the last one we did came out in October last year.
Yeah.
This is the biggest break we've had from filming. And we haven't been doing vlogs either. So we've had time on other things, and also Christmas holidays and all of that.
And I'm lucky. I'm busy in other areas with coaching and working away. And I do a few jobs for some smaller clients, but it's not the same.
Mm. I think we're both super keen to get back into the filming side of things. It was good to take a break from something, because then you get an opportunity to miss it, and also to put a lot of thinking and into what you're going to do and enjoy that process of creating something new.
Because what we're going to do is awesome.
Mm. So we are filming our new online class, which is a 6-week adventure or journey into modern mixed media art. So the course is called Modern Mixed Media. We're going to be creating contemporary abstracts using watercolor, mixed media, and collage. There's going to be a wide variety of abstract and semi-abstract projects, including my beloved botanicals, collage, lots of layers, texture, geometrics, and a whole lot more stuff, basically. The course is an in-depth course, and I have taken all the feedback that we've got from participants in the classes, looked at all the questions being asked, and we're going to cover on some of those topics that come up again and again, like what kind of paper do you use? How do you stop the paper from warping? What are your favorite watercolor paints? How do you choose your colors? Those sorts of things, going into everything in a lot more depth, because we have that opportunity with a longer class. With a mini, it's much more about sort of having a small package with stuff to just get you started. But this is about really developing your skills and also digging in with your own personal style. So we're going to be looking at what it is that makes your art unique to you. What's your aesthetic? The other thing is that we're going to have a look at composition, colour and mark making in a lot of detail too.
Yeah, that has a lot in common with filmmaking and photography. Composition, colour. Yeah, I really love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because it's funny how people sometimes say, oh, I'm not good at composition, but we use composition all the time in everyday life. You know, you could be decorating a cake or planning your outfit or decorating a room in your house, and composition comes into play with all of those things, or gardening, like planning out a garden bed.
Yeah.
Once you start realizing that you use these skills all the time and that you don't need to necessarily know the fancy words that go with it, then you gain confidence. So we'll be looking at that, and we're going to look at how you present, protect and photograph your work. So there's a whole lot in it, probably too much, but we can't help ourselves.
Yeah. And I know you should never really big up yourself, but I think this is going to be amazing.
Yeah, me too. So if you want to get on board with it, we do have a registration page open, and you can head on over to laurahornart.com/modernmixedmedia, and that way you'll get notified when the course opens for sale, but also we're going to have some free stuff too that will be coming out. So make sure that you are registered for that so you don't miss out.
And if you're listening to this, I received an email the other day, and it was just in relation to a new girl. She didn't know what we had on the website. So I just directed her over to the website. There's vlogs, there's lots of workbooks over there, all free. So if you haven't been over there and had a good look, go on over to the website, have a look around, get right into it, because there's some really good stuff over there.
Yeah, that's true. Because we've been doing this podcast for a long time, we often assume that people know. But head on over to laurahornart.com and you'll be able to see the classes we have, the podcast, the vlogs. There's a great page on the website called Resources. That's an excellent place to start.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we get into the podcast?
Yes.
Let's do it, Richie.
Yep. Let's talk about finishing.
Okay, finishing.
Now, I just want to start this by saying I came home the other day and I was expecting you to be kind of finished. And you were in a little bit of a kerfuffle. I'm not going to say you were too flustered, because you kind of had a direction, you knew where you were going. I said to you, oh, how are you getting on? And you're like, oh, it's drying. And it was just the way you said it. It was almost like you're impatient and a little bit nervous. And I wanted to ask you then, but I decided to keep it for this podcast. When you're on the cusp of finishing something and you can't finish it because it needs to dry, is that period a nervous time, or is it just normal? I'll go and have a cup of tea and I'll come back and I'll finish it, no problem.
Look, I think it depends on the painting, because each painting is very different. Some paintings finish in a flurry. They just happen. You know, the music is on and then you look at it and there's nothing left to do and it's almost effortless, free and easy, free-flowing. And then other paintings require a lot of back and forth, looking at it, waiting, refining. And sometimes it can be a little bit of a, I don't know if nervous is the right word, but it can be like a little bit more of a tense experience than those early layers when you have so much freedom, because you can start to worry about, let's say you've got 80% of the painting how you want it, and there's only 20% or maybe only 10% that you're refining. You're trying to protect the 80% that you are happy with while, you know, getting that last section up to the same standard. And that's a much more difficult process. It becomes even harder when you are working with a desired outcome in mind, particularly for a commission. You really have a clear idea of where you need to be. That's why with this particular painting, that last stage was a little bit challenging. It all went fairly smoothly, and the reason for that was because I took my time. I probably sounded a little frustrated because I was waiting for it to dry and I wanted to keep going, but there was a part of me that was saying, just take your time with it, let it dry fully, because these are the lessons I've learned over time, that when I rush and maybe the underneath layer isn't completely dry, that sometimes causes problems.
That's what I was about to ask you. Can your impatience trip you up?
Yeah, it can do. And that's one of the reasons why I like to work on multiple pieces, because if I had wanted to keep painting, I could have pulled out the other canvas that I was working on and did something on that while I waited for it to dry, rather than being tempted to go back in when it wasn't quite ready yet. So there's sometimes a lot of patience involved in painting, particularly in the way that I paint. And whether that's on my watercolour paintings or my acrylic paintings or mixed media work, I work in layers and there's a lot of drying time. But one of the things that often happens to me when I work with multiple pieces is that one of the pieces will become the easier one to work on. So quite often I'll end up disregarding one because I follow the flow of the one that is calling out to me. And that happened when I was working on this commission. I had two pieces going, but then one of them I started to get a rhythm with, and then I just allowed myself to continue with that one and I put the other one aside. Often when I work on more pieces, like five or six, when I come back, say after a layer has dried, I look at which one would be the easiest one to work on and I start with that one and work that one through, so that then if I do complete it, that one becomes a helper. I can look to that one for support and almost like advice on how to complete the others. So there's a lovely conversation happening and a flow in the work. Okay, so let's talk about the finishing part. So one of the things that helps is to stop. To stop before you even think it's completed, because many paintings succumb to being overworked. We are a little bit obsessive about the piece that we're working on, to the point where we push it too far. So stopping before you think it's completed and allowing it to rest and coming back to it and looking at it with a fresh perspective is one of the best pieces of advice that I can give. Because there's a rawness to a painting that comes when you're still moving things around freely. That last 10% things often tighten up and you lose the organic quality of the work that you've had up to that point. So what you're trying to do is prevent that from happening and stopping maybe at the 80% mark rather than pushing right through to 100% straight away and seeing what it feels like at 80% finished, because 80% finished may actually be 100% finished. And I often find that this is the case when I work on things and then I put them away, not just for a day or two, and sometimes we don't have this opportunity, but to put work away for a couple of months. And then I bring up the 80% completed painting 2 or 3 months down the track, and I see it completely differently to how I did when I was in it. And I might start to actually really like it that way. So time is a gift. If you can allow your paintings to have a bit of time away from you, it helps the process along. But you learn that over time. And that's why taking progress photos is a valuable tool. And I often look at my paintings and I can see where I should have stopped. But unfortunately, in that case, I've pushed it further along. And that's okay. That's part of learning. But then you can go back and have a look at your photos and go, you know what, I liked it there. And then when you paint your next piece, you've got some inspiration to work from.
Do you know what I seen you doing the other day? And it was this light bulb moment. I seen you draw on your photos.
Mm.
And it was just like one of those things, why didn't I ever think of that? That is like the most obvious thing to do for anything. Composition, putting things in the foreground or the background. It's just, and I'm thinking to myself, everybody must do that and I must be an idiot because I didn't think of it.
Yeah, this is one of those things that, I don't know, it's not that I heard it from anyone. It was just something that I started doing. I'd take a photograph of my paintings and then print them off and then use pen or pencil to adjust them on paper. So if I was thinking about adding another element, I would draw it on top of the photograph to see how it feels. And I've also seen people do this in apps on your phone. So you can, if you've got a pen that you can use on your phone or even your finger, you can take a photograph and then draw in and adjust it and try things out and see how that feels. You can take that process as far as you want to, but I do it at a very elementary, simple level where I just test out different ideas, compositional ideas. You know, there's a lot of tips and techniques that you can take too far and you want to stay in the moment while you're painting too.
Because you're trying to finish.
Yeah, you don't want to get pulled too far out looking for inspiration and external sort of ideas when you want to then re-enter yourself and trust in yourself and finish the painting. I think it's also important to mention that completion is not about perfection. And you can tinker with a painting forever. There will always be a way to improve it in your mind. You'll consider things like, could it be a bit darker? Could it be busier? Does it need to be simplified? Like, there's a lot of stuff that you could play around with the line quality, the colors, all sorts. There is no end point. So at some point, we need to think about completion as closure rather than perfection, as a way of ending the process and closing the loop so that we can learn and continue to grow. So I think it's very important to make that distinction between completion and perfection. Closure feels good. So it doesn't need to be perfect, but you can look at a painting and say to yourself, it's done what it needs to do for now, and put it away and move on to the next thing, rather than feeling a pressure for it to be better or perfect. And that way we can then continue to have momentum in our practice rather than worrying about the things that we didn't get perfect.
Mm.
So back to tips and ideas and things that I use when I'm trying to finish a painting, particularly when you have a deadline or something like that and you do need to finish it and provide it to a client or something like that, because you can't always put a painting in a cupboard for 6 months and let it be. You want to get it to a point where you feel happy about it. That's the important thing, that you feel good about your work.
It's very important to remember that when someone employs you for a commission, they're asking you for a very good reason. They love your work. So just do your work.
Mm. That's true, because generally when people approach you for a commission, they've followed you, enjoyed what you do. They have confidence and trust in your work. It's actually you that often struggles and you don't think you're good enough. But they've already said to you that they trust you the minute they contact you. So it's about trusting yourself.
Yeah.
So a few things that I do, we've mentioned taking a photograph. Always use photographs. I find that such a valuable tool. And particularly if I'm starting to feel a bit stuck or tired, take a photo, bring it up on my desktop, cup of tea, just take a look at it, maybe print it off. I see it differently. So it's good to see it in different ways. Another thing is to bring your painting out of your studio. They always look different in a studio environment. And if you can hang it in a setting that is somewhat similar to what it might be hung in eventually, so a lounge room or something like that, so that you can walk past and see how the painting looks from different angles, sitting down, standing up, look at it up close, look at it from far away. That will help too. When I'm in the midst of trying to figure out a painting, I also like to rotate the painting and look at it even upside down, because when you turn a painting upside down, it often helps you see where the painting isn't balanced. Because while a painting doesn't need to look good upside down, it does show you where the emphasis is in a different way, so that you can see perhaps if there's, you know, it's very heavily weighted, for example, to one side, and you need something to kind of counteract that. So it's very helpful from a balance point of view.
When I photograph your work, I have to get you to mark the paintings for me because I couldn't tell you which way is up sometimes.
Well, I think that, I mean, this isn't always the case, but with abstract work, often if the painting is well balanced, it could be hung in different directions. Now, that's not always the case, but generally speaking, if I can rotate my paintings and they still look pretty good, even upside down, then the painting is balanced.
Yeah. Yeah, I normally just follow the drips. So if the drips are dripping down, but then every now and then you'll say, no, Richie, that's the wrong way around.
You're making an assumption that drips need to drip down.
Yeah.
Because I've got paintings where the drips are
going. They go across.
different directions.
Yeah.
And some paintings don't have drips at all, so they're even trickier for you to figure out.
Yep. Just close my eyes.
I need to paint like a little arrow, like a secret arrow in there for Richie to find.
Yeah.
So I've mentioned about contemplating your painting, you know, putting it up and pondering it. Sometimes I feel like I do this for way too long. Stare, keep staring. So I think it's good to give yourself a bit of a time limit around how long do you look at a painting for. And then if you want to finish it, make yourself a quick list of the things that stand out for you, like the things that you want to tweak. So I will often get my pen and my notebook out and choose 4 or 5 things that I'd like to adjust. So it could be, you know, strengthen that line, block out that area, tidy up that section, blend that area of colour, like those sorts of things. I'll make a list and then I'll go into my studio and again set myself a time frame. Say, okay, I've got an hour, half an hour, work through these things confidently and then call it a day. So there's a bit of, you've got to kind of give yourself some limits, because you can go around and around and around in circles. This could be an endless process. So if you can do your painting up to about 80%, give it a bit of a break, come back to it, ponder it, but not for too long, and then write a decisive list, give yourself a time limit to action that, and then see where you're at.
I was wondering when the list was going to come into it.
You've seen me do this many times, my little list.
Yeah.
So that helps me to put some boundaries around what completion looks like for this particular piece. You know, there's still times where I come back and tinker a bit at the end. I don't always nail it in that time frame, but giving myself some boundaries helps, because I do feel like it's an area where we can get stuck. Another thing that can help is returning to your initial source of inspiration, unless your painting has taken you on a completely different adventure. But if you had something that you started with, an intention, an idea that you were exploring in your art, coming back to that and seeing if you've captured that, looking at how that has translated on the canvas and how it feels, can help you know if a painting is finished. And you might want to start thinking about the title of the painting, because for me, bringing in some words, some description to the process, again, helps to bring that sense of closure to the piece and an understanding of what the piece is about. Now, no one else needs to know what that piece is about necessarily, like depending on what your painting is, but it's a personal process of, you know, what does this mean to me? What am I going to call this? You know, where has the journey taken me? And these are things that can help. And it even encourages your brain to get into that finishing mindset. Once you start thinking about, well, what is this painting called? then you're getting into that last part of the process. Often I find that the title of a painting has come through anyway. You might already have a bit of a gut feeling about what this painting is going to be called. And I often feel like they're the best kind of titles, the ones that just come through in the moment. And you might be listening to music while you paint and you hear a song lyric, or you just see something in the painting and then that's the title. Write it down and run with it.
But what about intuition? Have you ever just gone, that's finished?
For the most part, I think when a painting's done, you get a feeling. It's kind of like just a gut feeling. And from talking to a lot of artists, I know that many artists say this, that they just know. And it comes from experience. And you look at the painting and there's just nothing else you feel called to do.
Did you ever look at something? There's something not right about it? Or there's something bothering you, but you're not 100% sure? Do you ever get that when you're painting too? Like, can that interrupt your finishing process?
Generally, I know a painting's not finished because something about it is bothering me. That's my biggest indicator. I sometimes can't put my finger on it straight away, but I look at it and I'm like, there's something off. It could be the color palette. It could be quite often it's the composition. There's something about the composition that's not quite working, or how the elements in the painting are flowing. So if I can't figure it out straight away, then I'll go through, I guess, a bit of a list of things that I'll be looking for. I don't do this in a conscious way. It's more of a subconscious. But I'll look at how my eye is moving through the painting and whether it's getting stuck in an area that I don't want it to be. So maybe there's something that I've overemphasize that I need to calm down a bit because it's taking up too much of my attention and it's not the thing that I want to have emphasis. So I look at where is my eye going and is it where I want my eye to go? So the emphasis of the painting. I also look at the negative space. I find this a very useful tool at the end to not only look at the active areas of the painting, but look specifically at the negative space, because sometimes it's through adjusting the negative space that we bring the painting to completion. So that's very useful too. I also look at the edges of a painting. Sometimes bringing something right up to the edge can help so that you don't have everything sort of sitting in the middle of the painting, that you're using the whole canvas. There's an element of mystery as well when you have things that fade off the edge of a painting. So that is another tool that I use, is the edges.
That's a really big thing in landscape photography. Mm. So when they take a photograph of a cliff, show the top of the cliff, but not the bottom.
Mm.
Or show the bottom of the cliff, but not the top. Our brains like a little bit of mystery.
That's the same in painting. Like if you've got a line that just leads off the edge of the painting, our eye likes that.
Mm-hmm. We like, and then our brain goes, where does that go?
Yeah, it opens up questions and mystery. I like the word mystery, actually. Is there a bit of mystery in your painting? You can come back to some of the more common rules of composition, like the rule of thirds. I mean, there's been many times where I've painted a painting and I've had a strong element and it's been right in the middle of the canvas. And I have found that very challenging. And I've wished that I could just pick it up and move it a little bit off to the right. And yet I've spent hours on it and it's right in the middle. And it's not like photography where you could just crop.
crop and recompose.
So, you know, that's great when you're working on a paper piece and you can cut, because then you can recompose by cutting the painting or taking it off the stretcher bars and cutting the canvas. But sometimes we can't do that and we need to adjust things. But you can have something right in the middle of the canvas and it works. So these rules can be broken as well. But generally speaking, with the rule of thirds, things are more pleasing to the eye when they're in those positions, rather than being in the center, you use the thirds. I think there's a lot to be said in exploring composition through play and experimentation, trying out different kinds of compositions without thinking about what specifically they are, like labeling them. It's this, or it's that. I like the idea of experimenting, and it's something that we're going to be doing in the new course. Come up with a way of exploring composition without getting stuck thinking about the rules. It's playful. It will generate new ideas for you without you going, oh, is this right or is this wrong? If it looks cool, that's the way to go. It's good. That's all it needs to be. So that's the way I like to approach composition. So I mentioned the rules and now kind of want to take that bit out because it's not the way that I actually do it. Which really brings me back to how I decide if a painting is finished. And it's definitely not about it being perfect. It's just about how I feel. Does it feel done? Am I ready to let it go? Will it feel good to just say this is done? Speaking of done, we've come to the end of the podcast, but I just wanted to give you a gentle reminder that my online class, Layer by Layer, is on sale at the moment. You can save 20% off using the coupon, let me get this right, 20INFEB, 20INFEB. And actually in this class, I go through a lot of the things that we've talked about in this episode because I paint a large abstract painting from start to finish. And you'll see me turn the canvas upside down. You'll see me look at it up close, look at it from far away, try different things, see how they feel, and make adjustments at the end. So if you want to see this all in practice, head on over to my website, laurahornart.com/classes, and click on Layer by Layer.